is. And we're established here. This is our spiritual home, and we've seen so many things happen over the years. When Pastor Alan was alive, I worked quite closely with him in the area of prayer in this church, and it's been founded on a basis of prayer. And many years ago, we had a vision for the transformation of the city, and from that we founded a small intercessory prayer group that was a combined prayer group from other churches. And as often happens, the enemy comes in and things get dismantled. But we haven't lost that vision. We have that vision. We've picked it up again this year, but just within this church. And we're praying, solidly praying, with a vision to see this city transformed. And this is where God's placed us. We're just a small church, but we are a light and a lamp in this city. And we used to have on our newsletter the picture of a lighthouse, and I really feel that that's what we are here. And, you know, not a lot of people know that we're here, but we are here, and God will do it by His Spirit, draw people in. And from that picture of a lighthouse, something that the Lord showed me some years ago, in fact, talking to Guy yesterday, just reminded me, it was a vision that the Lord gave me, and I saw these waves rolling over onto a shore, and as they crashed on the shore where you would normally see driftwood and, you know, bits of debris from the sea, I saw all lying on the shore broken bodies, people, but their lives were broken. They were destroyed, and the Lord showed me that these were the people that were coming into this church, that this was the purpose that we were here for, was to see lives restored, made whole. And then a couple of years ago, I had a dream, and I just came upon this scene, and it was like it was a big auditorium type of thing, and I saw two very wide lines of people queuing up to go into this facility. And there was such excitement. They were buzzing. There was just a joy. And I wondered what they were doing. I didn't know where they were going. And it was like it was placed in my mind, this is your church. And I thought something must have happened. And people were talking about all the things that had been going on. And there was so much excitement because people were pouring into this church, which is our church. And that was what the Lord showed me, that this is coming, that there's going to be a pouring out of people into the church because something is going to take place. It's like something miraculous is going to happen in the church that's going to be a magnet that will draw souls into the church. And it's a real encouragement because we've gone through a lot of upheavals. We've gone through some times where the church is larger and then the church is not so large, but constantly the Lord has His hand on it. And I just have been privy to some of the prophecies that have come over the years also from various visiting ministries. Have people that have come in from overseas that have not really known the background of the church, and they've spoken some amazing prophetic words about what the Lord will do with the church. And one that just really sticks out in my mind from way back when we were called Bay City Church, is that it was a prophecy that said that this church would be a fruitful vine and we would spill out over the walls into the community. And I believe we haven't yet seen that taken place, but it's coming because the word of the Lord never returns void and it will accomplish His purpose. So these are the things that the Lord's been showing some of us, and I believe that in the time that the Lord's timing is right, these things will happen.
Amen. Let's give her a hand. Come on. Now I'm just going to ask Debbie to come and share something. They were at a MFI conference, was it? And you're at an MFI conference. MFI is who we're a part of. It's Ministers Fellowship International. It was headed up by Kevin Connor. The global chairman, if you like, is Frank DiMaggio at the moment. Dick Iverson started over there in America. And they were at a conference, and this guy shared something at this conference to these guys. Now, I don't know who this guy is, but you might have to qualify him, because when someone speaks a prophetic word, we need to qualify the person bringing the word, right? But it was pretty powerful and almost seems too far out there. This is like almost too much, but this is what was spoken. We'll pass it on to Debbie and she might share something else as well. Who knows?
And may the Lord impart the understanding. The gentleman's not, his young fellow, a lot like Guy, early 40s something, but very live in the Lord. Just really loved the Lord. He is the grandson of a lady, Violet Kiteley, that had a huge impact on the west coast of the US in a church there, and just came out of a stream where it's just such a huge revivals in places and mighty, mighty works happened over past decades. But then her son, this Violet Kiteley, her son took over the fellowship. It's in California, and Patrick Kiteley is the grandson of the lady, and he's continuing this life in God, just abiding in the vine. And just I listened to a wee bit of one of the messages. I thought I'd try and dig out the CD that I had of the word, but I don't know what I've done with it. So it's good, because then you don't raise up the actual thing. You just got to trust God. I know what God said. We're in the last night of the meetings, and he was just sharing with different ones, calling out, just sharing, encouraging, good words, this and that. And then he, from the far side of the room, he calls, "Oh, Alan and Deborah, where are you from?" Well, do you know, early this morning, I got my answer for why that was one of the worst moments of my life. In this meeting, we look at each other and we had no idea, could not. I knew there was harvest in the name. We'd it been coming along some months, I don't know if it was a year, but it had been one name and then it got changed, and just, we were, just could not think. So we were sort of looking at each other like unintelligent people do. Anyway, somebody in the crowd called out, "Oh, from Brisbane." So he took, okay. And early this morning, I thought, do you know, in a sense, even though the word was for us here, it's like we've got to consider the bigger plan of God. His vision is so big. People everywhere. And what he called out, he said, oh, and then he was walking towards, he said, "Everybody else, put your hands over your ears." Said he was worried they were going to get terribly jealous, apparently. He said, "Where you come from, there will be the greatest revival in Australia that has ever been." And I don't know, I just, okay. And now you choose to believe it or you don't. But for me that evening, as the meeting had progressed, I've just had this really, really, really intense stirring of the Lord within me. Was not expecting a word, didn't even want a word. It was just a knowledge that God is God, and he's going to do what he wants to do. But for some reason, and I think I understand a little bit of the history of the southeast corner, since the charismatic renewal, it was a removal of a lot of trouble, religious trouble. But there have been preachers that God raised up back from the 70s through the 80s that absolutely changed the atmosphere. A lot of what they would call territorial spirits were just kicked out of this area. And I can understand that what the seed that's been sown and the word of God and the people that have laboured in this corner of Queensland, it is fertile ground for God to move again as he chooses. Now he went on to say other things to me, like personally. It's always interesting what God will do, because it's always in the area where you know you're a total failure and it's going to be God, because, you know, he said this and that. Anyway, that was all very encouraging. But definitely this, there is going to be the greatest revival in Australia where you come from. And with great joy, I come from here. And so does Alan. It's all yours, people.
Amen. You know, I think too, we're not believing for just our church. We're actually praying for a city. And that's different. We need a move of God if we want to see a city saved. But if God can save Nineveh, like I've always said, he can save the Redlands. And we don't just want God to move here. He's got to move over the city. We can't do this on our own. We need the churches to rise up. We need the people. We need a move of God. And so this is why we talk this way, because we know that God can do it. But isn't it exciting? I almost feel like I'm in unbelief when I hear that sort of thing, because it's too big. But God's going to do what he's going to do. There's a scripture, 1 Corinthians 13, 9. And I want to just bring a little bit of balance to what we hear too, because it says, "For we know in part, and we prophesy in part," right? "But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part is done away with." So God shows us in part. He doesn't show us the whole picture. He doesn't show us the whole thing. But when God actually comes and moves and does what he's going to do, that which we've seen in part is done away with, because we see the whole. That's what it's saying. So this scripture says we see in part. However, God also gives us a witness, right? And so even this morning we have prophecies, we have visions, we have dreams that have been spoken of as a witness to what God is wanting to do in our midst. If it was just one thing, well, it would be questionable. But when God begins to speak to different people in the congregations, when different ones come into the church and they bring a word, when different ones bring the word of God, right? And yes, of course, you discern it. If it's not right, throw it out. Amen. We know there's going to be many false prophets in these days that are going to arise. But God's given us a spirit of discernment, but he's also given us a witness that we might have a confirmation of what he wants to do. Hallelujah. And so back in 2012, Pastor Ray, for those who have been with us for a little while, he shared a prophetic word, and I've got it written down. I rung him the other day and said, "Do you remember that word you spoke years ago?" And he goes, "Yeah, I'll see if I can find it." And he did, and he sent it to me. So he was a part of the pastoral team in this church. He was one of the co-founders of King's Church down the Gold Coast, which is the largest church down there. And he was with us for a number of years, and he's gone back to Toowoomba. And he's planted multiple churches, and this is what he wrote. He said, "For I have ordained you that you should go out and bring forth fruit, fruit that shall remain. There shall not be any pestilence that shall come upon this fruit, because it shall be fruit that remains." Can you just grab me out of that curtain? Thanks, mate. "It shall shine as the glory of the Lord, for my glory shall rest upon it, and it shall be astonishment in the nation's eyes. For great astonishment shall come upon those that scoff against the plans and the purposes of God. But this people shall take authority over all creation, and those in high places that would speak against you and ever legislate against you shall come to naught, for confusion shall be in their ranks, but you shall govern the nations by the power of my spirit. The name of Jesus shall be reverend and honored among with his body, the church, for great fear and supplication shall be the lot of this world when the anointed of the Lord shall begin to manifest the intrinsic value of the Lord God Almighty. Think not that I shall not revenge your enemies, for I will bring honor unto you through them, and pride shall not enter in, because I have found you and know that you think as I do, says the Lord. I will even show you and give you confidence that all that has gone before you in respect of your families is not lost. For the believing son and the believing daughter have acted as a bulwark to their own families, and because of this, many whom you thought as being lost are in fact being placed in the great man's house, where there are vessels unto honor and vessels unto dishonor. The times and seasons are in my hands, says the Lord, but you have confidence that this is the season of miraculous growth, enterprise, authority, and rulership, for that which creation itself groans for shall shortly come to pass, and all the earth shall realize that God is God and there is no other. For I shall buoy up your spirits in these days, and you shall be surprised and excited at the works that shall be done in the name of Jesus. And every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord." Amen. Hallelujah. Now, about a month ago, I think it was, are you ready? Mum had a vision. Now, Mum doesn't usually dream, I believe. Is that right? But she had a dream that that blew her away, and when she told me, I was like, "All right, I shouldn't be embarrassed because it's my mum," but it started making me cry. Right, it touched my heart. and I don't have a problem of crying. And I just had a real witness, wow, this is from God. This is just not a vision. This is something that God is speaking. So you want to come and share that, Mum, and whatever else you want to say?
I actually feel very, very honoured that I actually had this dream. I don't dream like this, and it was so, so real. And after it happened, I went round to a guy in Sharon's place, and I shared with Sharon, and she was saying, we were just talking about that last night. And I continued to tell her the rest, then guy came out. And when after I was talking to them, I didn't realise, it wasn't until guy showed me a little clip that he had on his phone that he had taken of himself and Levi. And as you know, Levi doesn't speak a lot, but he can say the word me. And he was singing this song, and where the word me came, he said me. And I looked at it and I said, Guy, I can't believe it. But I said, in my dream, that was the very thing that I saw, and they were the very words that he was singing. And so I got really excited. So I just like to share what the Lord has shown me in this dream. And it was this church was set up like it is now. And I could see everything that was going on. And I knew that the worship time was over because there's nobody standing at the back here. And someone got up, and I can't say who it was, and they started to sing a song, but it was in Hebrew, and they didn't say sing very much. And all of a sudden, everybody here in this congregation stood up, and they started worshipping the Lord. It was very noisy. There were people thanking the Lord for what he had done, and there was people calling out to the Lord and praying and worshipping them. And as I said, it was very noisy. And just at the front, Levi was here, and he came up, and he came up to the altar, and he had his arms raised. And I remember in the dream looking at him, and it seemed like a wee while went, and I thought, that's a long time for a little boy to stand there with his arms raised like that. And he didn't move, and then all of a sudden he turned round, and he looked at his brother and said, Justice, come here. And Justice come up, and he said, my brother, you're talking. Who healed you? He said, and Levi said, just as Jesus did. And he turns around to his mum and says, I love you, mummy. He turns around to his father, I love you, daddy. Then he looked at Renee and said, I love you, Renee. And I could see Renee was bent over and she was really sobbing. Nobody, the other people in the church couldn't see this because all this noise was still going on, but this was happening up the front. And it continued for quite a long time. And then when it quietened down a little bit, Guy got up and he said, something's happened here today. And he said, and it's just been amazing. And he said, we need to give the Lord the glory. And Guy mentioned it earlier on about that. We need to give Jesus the glory. And so he said, I want those who know that they have been touched or healed by Jesus to come forward. And there's still people worshipping Lord in the background, and there's still a bit of noise, but it's a little bit quieter. And I saw Elizabeth, and Elizabeth came forward, and she came rushing to the forward, and she said, the Lord has touched me. I can feel it. It's in my body. I feel so warm. And I'm thinking, this is not like Elizabeth. She's so quiet and reserved. She's come up here and she's excited. And she said, and this warmth, it's a nice warmth. It's not a scary warmth, but it's a nice warmth. And I can feel it. I can still feel it. And someone next to her said, I can feel it too. The warmth is coming off you and I can feel it. I can feel this warmth. And then the next thing I saw was there was a man sitting just in the middle down here in the aisle. Before that, there was Brianna, was right down the very end, and she looked to her mum, and she said, can I go forward? Jesus has touched me. Can I go forward? And then Jeanette's there, and she's crying, and Ross is there crying, and then just coming down, there was this gentleman just sitting, just whereabouts were you sitting? And he came forward And he said, I'm a pastor and I've come from another state. And a guy asked what his name was. He said his name was George. And he said, I know I have been healed. He said, I've had pain in my foot and my ankle for such a long time, but now there's no pain and I can move my foot and my ankle. I can move it freely and there's no pain. And Guy had said to him, oh, it's nice that you're here, that come at this time. He said, yes. He said, I prayed. I said, Jesus, what church will I go to this morning? He said, my wife's in the PA hospital and she's on life support and has only got a few days to live. My children who aren't saved are with her. And Guy said to him, well, the Lord's done a miracle here today. Why can you not do something for your wife? And when after Guy finished saying that, everybody, without anybody telling them to do it, all got up, all stood up. And you prayed and worshipped the Lord. It was just amazing. And as I said, it was noisy. The church was never quiet like it is now. It was noisy. And then he said to Guy, he said, excuse me. He said, my phone is vibrating here. He said, my children are probably trying to get hold of me. I better go out and answer the phone. So he went out into the foyer. And then Guy looked over and just over towards where Sarah was sitting, there was a man sitting there, or a young man, and he had his arm in a sling. And Guy said to him, why have you got your arm in the sling? He said, I have diabetes really, really bad, and I've had two of my fingers, so these two here, are amputated. And he said, I've got to keep my arm up. And then Guy said, well, have you checked your arm since you've been here? And he pulled his arm out of the sling, and he looked, I've got two new fingers and they're so pink. And this is all going on. I don't like the noise. And then George came back out and he come up to Guy and he said, can I please say something? He said, that with my children and they've told me they believe because they've seen a miracle. He said, my wife is woken up. She's sitting up in the bed at the PA hospital. She's wanting to get out and walk around. The doctors and the nurses are so confused, they don't know what to do. And of course, everybody was up praising the Lord again. And then Guy said, well, George, you better come back next week, bring your wife and your children and let them come up and testify to the miracle that they have seen. And then it all was like the next Sunday. And the next Sunday everyone was here. Every chair was full. People were standing at the back. A whole heap and heap of people. Some of the people were in the foyer because they couldn't get in. And I remember, and I saw this guy standing there and he looked at the people and he said, well, I think we're going to have to find a bigger place to worship. And then it came to the end of the dream. And that was it. But you know, out of all of it, what I really felt that the Lord was showing me is that we can all be part of that worship. It's all of us. It's not just one person. It's all of us. And we can be noisy. We're allowed to be noisy. And we've got somebody that loves us dearly and wants to touch people. And I was just so blessed with the dream. And it was so real. Like, I can still, you know, even now, when I go home, I can shut my eyes and I can still see that dream. And that's the only one I've ever had, but I was so thankful to the Lord that he gave that to me. So bless you.
Some things just break you, don't they? Crazy. Well, there's more to come. God just wanted me to add something that the Lord has shown me. As you know, I do dream a lot, and I've got to learn over the years what's just a random, stupid, doesn't make any sense dream to something that is from the Lord. And just as I was sitting there, as a side note, I was reminded that in years gone past, I would have dreams where I was being chased by demons and I'm running from demons and it's all end times and there's there's a fear and I'm not too sure what to do. But in recent days, few months, I don't know, however, look, time's a blur, right? I don't know about you. For me, time's a blur. In recent days, the dreams have always been that they're coming at me and I just go, stop, in the name of Jesus, and it's that simple. And even recently, having a dream in the Philippines where there's a few of us there, we get out of a car into a poverty-stricken place, and there's like these buildings, and you just know that there's like almost catacombs in these buildings, you know, room after room after room. And we make the decision to get out, and we just walk into one room, pray for people, they're all healed, all the withered people. We go into a new room, and as we're walking, the darkness just goes and goes and goes. And I see women are sort of standing up and raising up, trying to come against the authority, but it just can't. And it's almost like, you know, the times of Peter with the shadow. It's all you need. All we need is just to take that light in, you know. If we can imagine sometimes that we have a light around us, because we're the light of the world, right? So wherever we go, that darkness disappears before we actually physically get into that space. And so it's very exciting. And it's very exciting to know, I was talking with Rodney and Nadia last week actually, the authority that we have. If we understand who we are in Jesus Christ, surely we need to understand our authority. Man, we have got it going on. As sons of God, we have all authority and nothing can come against us. Amen. It's exciting. But the dream I wanted to share with you, it's interesting. For those that come to the prayer meeting, you'll remember that night, Guy and I are in the corner, just overcome by the Spirit of God, laughing our heads off. Everyone's praying very seriously and they're in warfare. And Guy and I have just lost it. That night I go to bed and I have a dream. And I actually woke up and I didn't remember it until I did the school run and my daughter Renee got out of the car and I went, oh, Renee, I just had a dream. I had twin girls and I lost it. And I'm like, oh no. And I'm getting very anxious. And for those of you who have journeyed with me, you'll know my devastation finding out I was pregnant and with twins at 41. Oh my goodness. What's going on here? And I'm like, and I'm all pent up. I'm thinking, oh man, I might just have to move out of the bedroom for a little while, you know. I've got to tell Guy, this is devastating. No, Lord, I don't want, twin girls. But in the dream, it was like there was no hospital. It was like I was just standing there and there were just shelves of books everywhere. And Guy just comes into the room. And he says, they're two girls. And that was it. We've got twin girls. And that's all there was to the dream. So that was on the 6th of June. I come home and I sit down with Guy and I said, I've got to tell you something. I said, this is the dream that I had last night. And he goes, oh. He's like, no way, man. No way, man. Then we're a family of seven. Are you joking? And he says, we are not the Wilcox family in Mozambique. I said, all right. So anyway, we're just like, Lord, we just come against that. We don't want it. And praise God, we're in agreement. Because in times past, guys just like, yeah, whatever happens, happens. It's like, no way. We can't. No way. Anyway, I soon forgot about it and went on my own merry way. 2 weeks later, on the, I've got the date here, on the 15th of June, was a Thursday night. I just had some private time in worship, just in my little corner of my bedroom. I was just worshiping and just loving on God. And then all of a sudden it was like, and I hadn't thought about this dream for all that period of time. And all of a sudden it was almost like a sense I could see the Father. And it was almost instantaneously, he reminded me of that dream and then he showed me what that dream meant. And I just lost it. I was just in tears. It wasn't like he was having a conversation and it was rolling out to tell me. It was like I just instantly knew. And I liken it to, if anyone's seen the movie The Matrix, Neo gets plugged in to learn karate. And as soon as he's unplugged, he just says to whatever the guy's name that Samuel L. Jackson plays, he just says to him, I know Kung Fu or whatever. So it was just that instantaneous thing, and I just knew. And the Lord said, you had a dream about twin girls. I said, yes. And he said, what did people say to you all the time after you knew you were going to have twin boys? And so many people came and said, first the natural, then the spiritual. And in my devastation anyway, I was like, yeah, I know. First the natural, then the spiritual. We say this all the time. It's almost like a Christian cliche, isn't it? We say it so much. But the Lord said, first the natural, then the spiritual. It's a girl, they're girls. It's a female. It's a picture of the bride. The church is the bride. And there's two of them because it's going to be a double anointing that comes out and that is poured out. And then straight at that moment, maybe even similar to what you saw, Mum, I just saw this whole building, just people everywhere, fully all seats, squashed in, everyone on the sides, everyone, just there's just people everywhere. I don't know how many people there were. And everyone was just crying and weeping before the Lord. So the girl is the church being consumed by his glory, and he's going to come doubly. It was very intense, and when I was seeing it, it was just very intense. I was actually just in prayer as soon as I knew this, I was just groaning and was almost like a spiritual birth, I guess, I don't know. And so I see everyone in the meeting, everyone. I've even got the word everyone underlined in the meeting, just weeping and weeping. And there were lots and lots of faces that I didn't know that I'd not seen before. And so I just give God the glory. And, you know, I think that was the actual night I came out from the bedroom. I was just a mess, you know. You know, that mess face you get. And I just said, I can't handle the presence of God anymore. It was just too full on. And so then when Mum shared her dream and I remembered Yvonne's things, I said, Guy, this is our church. This is where we're going. This is what we're going to see. So praise the Lord.
Oh, man, I can't wear my glasses now. You know, this is our heart. It's not about us, church. And I just long for him. And you know, the song that I sing to my kids, one of their favorite things to do is sit down. I play the guitar and they play an out-of-tune ukulele each. And they sit opposite me. And we have worship time. And Sharon goes, oh, what was the favorite part of your day? And it was playing guitar with Dad, you know, worshiping God. And the song that Mum was talking about, the song we sing in our video, it is, Yes, Jesus Loves Me. And I sing it and Levi just goes, me, at the end of each line, you know. And I'm just overcome because this is our heart. We want to see this stuff. And, you know, we look at the word and all that, but words are cheap. We know how to say stuff in church. We know how to have the facade of church, but I'm a Thomas. I want to feel the wounds of Christ. I want to know his touch and his embrace. I want to know him. I want to know him. And so when I hear this stuff getting spoken this morning, I thought, man, I had enough time to get it together while Sharon was talking, but it grips my heart. It overwhelms me. And, you know, the truth of the matter is when Levi was born as a Down syndrome baby, I found it hard for me because men like to fix things. Amen. And I saw something that wasn't perfect. And I read my Bible and I'm very literal and I know that Jesus says, by his stripes you've been healed. He says, if any two agree on one thing, it shall be done.
And here I am praying for my son, and I'm expecting a miracle, and I'm expecting the miraculous, and I'm not seeing it. I'm going, why, Lord? Why, Lord? Why? And it would break my heart. Because I'd look at the word, and I wouldn't see it in my own son. But we'd know that the Lord had shown us he was going to be healed. And so when I hear this, it brings up all the stuff I had to deal with. The Lord, teach me how to love something that's not perfect. Teach me how to love people regardless of where they're at. You know, it comes naturally for some people. They walk in the gift of mercy. It didn't come naturally for me. God had to teach me and use my son. But now I love him. I really love him. And it's amazing in Isaiah 42:9. It says, let me get a drink of water first. Isaiah 42:9. Behold, the form of things are come to pass. It says, and new things do I declare. So we've had a whole lot of stuff that's happened, but God's saying, new things I'm declaring. We know this is a new season. It doesn't, you know, even someone who's not even walking close to the Lord, they know this is a new season. Stuff is happening in the world. Stuff is going on. We're walking and seeing things we haven't actually walked and confronted before. It says, and then it goes on to say, before they spring forth, and here's the words, I tell you of them. Isn't it interesting? The former things that are come to pass, and new things do I declare, but before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Don't you think that God's telling us something through these prophecies and these dreams and these visions this morning of his heart and what he wants to do? That he so desires to touch people. He so desires to see people set free. He so desires to see people healed. He so desires just to come and pour out his spirit upon his church again. This is his heart that he wants to do this. Oh, man. So I say, church, let's shake off the spirit of heaviness and put on a garment of praise, because our Jesus Christ is risen from the grave. Amen. He's alive. Hallelujah. He's risen. And then he goes on to say that no eye has seen and no ear has heard what God has in store for those that love him. And then he even goes on to say beyond that, that it hasn't even entered into the heart of man. Come on. We haven't even comprehended what God wants to do. Therefore, I say that a great expectation should be our portion, church. We should come into this place today and recognize that our Jesus is alive and he's risen from the grave, and he's got a promise upon his church that no eye has seen, no ear has heard, hasn't even entered their heart. Man, how should our hearts be sitting here today? They should be bursting with expectation with what God wants to do. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, God's not looking at size. He's not looking at lack. He's not looking at the impossibility. He's looking at his word, and he's looking at the hearts of men who will stand and simply believe that his word is true and nothing else. Amen. Hallelujah. Do you believe that this morning? Do you believe that? In Mark 11:23, it says, common portion of scripture, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things that he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. Now we throw that scripture out there all the time, right? But the words there, the word say that is used there, it means to call forth. It means to bid. It means to command. Hallelujah. To declare. And so this morning I want to do something we've never done before. I want to do something a little bit different. We're going to stand this morning, and then we're going to share something, and we're going to just yell it out three times, then we're going to make some noise before the Lord, right? We're talking about noise, so let's make some noise. In fact, where's Bronnie? Bronnie, would you like to sit behind your drums? You have a license to make noise this morning, all right? Okay?
So why don't you sit behind your drums? Why don't we stand this morning? And we're going to finish with this. And I've got four things that I want to say. Let's just repeat them three times. After we repeat it three times, we're going to clap our hands, we're going to yahoo and make some noise and thank the Lord for what he's going to do, amen? So the very first thing we're going to say, are you alive there? Is it going? All right. So we'll wait till we say it. We'll say it three times nice and loud. The first thing we're going to say together is, all my family will be saved. Do you believe that? So let's just say it three times and make some noise. Ready? All my family will be saved. All my family will be saved. All my family will be saved. Thank you, Lord. Woo! Let's make some noise. Come on. All right. Amen. All right, are you ready? We will see God move upon the city. Are you ready? Let's go. Number one. We will see God move upon the city. We will see God move upon the city. We will see God move upon the city. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Next one. We will see the captive set free. Are you ready? Let's go. Number one. We will see the captive set free. We will see the captive set free. We will see the captive set free. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the last one. Are you ready? This is different, right? Church can be noisy, you know. We will experience revival. Are you ready? Number one, we will experience revival. We will experience revival. We will experience revival. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Woo! You're worthy, Lord. You're worthy, Lord. Amen. Amen. Oh, man. Praise the Lord. Oh, wow. We got some great days ahead, church. Amen. So I say this morning, man, let's our hearts be so stirred this morning. Amen. When we come and do church again, let's come expecting that God's going to, we're just not going to be the same. God wants to do something. Amen.